especially these Beatitudes. And you know, one thing I've realized is these things are strangely upside down. I mean, think about it. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. And today we hear, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. This doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. And it really wouldn't make sense if you were a Jewish person back in that day listening to this sermon. Because I'm sure as they're hearing this, they probably thought, oh, wait. No. I think what he meant to say is, blessed are the strong and the powerful, for they will crush Rome, and Israel will inherit the earth. Instead, Jesus is saying to them, nope, that's not who I am, and that's not the kind of kingdom that I'm building. And I bet you could have heard a pin drop on that mountainside that day as these Jewish people sat in just a stunned silence listening to this. And that's because this kingdom, this sermon, these Beatitudes, they're not from an earthly point of view. They're sure not coming from our human nature. In fact, it's impossible for us to do and be these things that Jesus wants us to be. Impossible. See, these are kingdom of heaven characteristics. These are values that are found in Jesus himself. So the good news, and I'll just kind of give you the good news right at the beginning instead of the end. The good news here is that if you are in Christ, all these things are possible. Without him, they aren't. Let's pray. So God, thank you for your word today. And Lord, I just pray that you would be preparing us to receive it. And God, where we need to be encouraged, Spirit, may you encourage us. And where we need to be admonished, may we be admonished. But for all of this, God, it's to your glory. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. So let's begin by talking about the meaning of meekness. Let's face it, the word meek has kind of a bad connotation nowadays. It comes from the Greek word praus. So if you want to go home and impress your friends and neighbors, there you go. There's your free Greek word of the day. They'll be so impressed, I'm sure. And it's a word that's rarely used in the New Testament. And honestly, we don't have a good English word for it. Sometimes it's translated meek, sometimes gentle, sometimes humble. But let's talk about what it doesn't mean. Meek does not mean weak or cowardly or timid. It doesn't mean that you're wishy-washy, that you're afraid to make decisions, that you just kind of just go with the flow. The word actually comes to us from ancient classical Greek, and its original meaning meant a mild word or a gentle caress or even a soothing medicine. And then as the word developed, by the time of Jesus, it also had the meaning of a strong, unbridled animal that has been broken by its master. Its will had been subdued. It was powerful, but now under control. It was an animal that had submitted and surrendered. So then what does meekness mean for us today? Well, I look at it as kind of going three ways. One toward myself, one towards God, and one towards others. So let's talk about meekness toward myself. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, and I kind of feel like I just took all of Pastor Steve's texts from last week and just used them again, so you should be getting pretty familiar with these. But Jesus said, anyone who wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. So this is self-denial. This is self-renunciation. This is death to self. Because he said you must deny yourself and take up your cross. Well, what was the cross used for in those days? Was it a jungle gym to play on and have fun? No. No, it was a form of execution. We must die to ourselves. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, Paul says, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So in just normal English, what this means is you're not on the throne. Okay? Your old self has to be extinguished, stopped, killed. Because you cannot be meek and continue to just do your own thing. Let's talk about meekness toward God. So again, at the end of Matthew 16, 24, Jesus says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and what? Follow me. Okay, so to follow means you're taking intentional steps. You can't play follow the leader sitting on the sidelines just watching. That doesn't work. So this here is the yielding. This is the surrendering of giving your life up to the Lord, realizing that this is no longer my path of my choosing. This is being bridled and being submissive to the Master. And I got to tell you, speaking as a person who for many years did my own thing, and every once in a while stills like to give that a shot, when your will is broken, boy, that gives you a real deep sense of humility. I mean, that just knocks you right down to your knees. And it's when you're on your knees that you kind of take a look back over your shoulder and say, goodbye, old self. We leave everything. Ourselves, our rights, our dreams, our future. We leave all of that in the hands of God. Now, is this being weak or timid? No, not by any means. This is our power coming under His control. Because I think deep down inside, we're all still bucking broncos, right? But now we have been spirit harnessed. And we are now under His authority. And as I said, this brings a very deep sense of humility. Let's talk about meekness toward others. You know, maybe this is where that first definition of a mild word or a gentle caress comes into play, especially. And it really starts at home. That's where meekness really needs to begin, to lead and to model a submission to God, to exercise a humility in your words and actions. To your kids, your grandkids, your spouse. The goal being to grow a family that is truly meek before the Lord. This also goes over into school and work. You know, who are you when you're there? What would people say about you? Would they say you're prideful, arrogant, know-it-all? Or would they say you're humble, slow to speak, quick to listen? I'm reading the book right now, First Man, which is the biography of Neil Armstrong. I think the movie comes out next week or so. And it is incredible reading what people had to say about working with him. One person said, I don't believe Neil ever had the word I in his vocabulary because it was never about himself. It was always about the team and about all the people involved. Another person said, in all my years, I never once heard Neil Armstrong say a bad word about anybody. It's the workplace, school, work, the world. That's where the genuineness of our meekness is going to be tested the most. You know, and this meekness towards others applies here at church as well. Listen to what Paul says in Philippians 2 when he's speaking to the church. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. Look, no one likes a spiritual snob or a Jesus jerk. You know, I remember years ago, I told a girl who was a Christian, I was a pretty new Christian, and I didn't agree with what she was saying or how she was acting, and I said, are you a Christian? She said, yeah. And I said, well, don't tell anybody because that gives us a bad name. Okay, that's being a jerk, okay? That is a real spiritual snob right there, right? I still kind of loathe myself for that one. The fact is, friends, God gives us every opportunity to display meekness in our words and actions and our thoughts. This isn't something you have to pray for the opportunity. That's, you know, it's kind of like when we pray to God to hurry up and give us patience. God gives us those opportunities all the time to display meekness. Is this you? Would you say you're characterized by meekness? Or are you doing your own thing? Have you died to yourself and have come under the authority of Jesus? Well, let's look at some examples of meekness. The Bible is full of them. I'm just going to use a couple kind of obvious ones. First one being Moses In Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, it says, "Now the man Moses was very meek, more than all people who were on the face of the earth." So here's a man who faced down Pharaoh, guy that God did all sorts of miracles through, the man who led well over a million Hebrews out into the desert for like a 40-year campout, guy that God gave the law through. Now, would we look at him and say, oh, he was weak, cowardly, timid, wishy-washy? No. And yet he was considered the meekest person of his day. That is being submitted to God. That is power under his control. Or how about the Apostle Paul, God's ambassador to the Gentiles, the man who wrote most of our New Testament letters? And yet listen to his words from Philippians 3. He says, "What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ." That is a full surrender to Jesus. And speaking of Jesus, there is our greatest example of meekness, the one we are to model our lives after. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 11. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul." So there's that gentleness, that humility. In John chapter 5, verse 30, Jesus says, "By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me." So even Jesus lived in submission to God. He wasn't just running around doing his own thing. Now, he could have. When he was being arrested, Peter's out there swinging his sword around, cutting people's ears off. And Jesus says to him, in Matthew 26, first he says, "Peter, put your sword away," for crying out loud. That's my translation of that, because I think there would have been a "for crying out loud" there. But he says, "Do you think I can't call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way?" That is power under control. And of course, if we go to the Garden of Gethsemane, there's the greatest example right there, as Jesus is looking ahead to the suffering that he's going to endure in just a few hours. And he prays, "Father, if there's any way this cup of suffering could be taken, but not my will, but your will be done." I could go on and on. I'll give you one more example, Philippians chapter 2. And speaking of Jesus, Paul writes, "Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness." He said, we could read scripture after scripture that speak of the meekness of Jesus. But what we really see here is that Jesus surrendered his will. He submitted to God. He denied himself, and he took up his cross. Because I think at the heart of meekness is that constant cry of, "Not my will, but your will be done." So let's talk for just a minute the benefits of meekness. Okay, we're blessed. Every beatitude starts with, "Blessed are those who mourn, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, blessed are the meek." But it doesn't end there, and this is interesting because he says, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." Wow! That's a really big, bold promise, and not really sure what he means by that. What's really interesting with this is he says this in the present tense. So he's not saying this is something that will happen down the road. He says, no, when you are meek, you inherit the earth now. Now notice it's not merited, it's not something you earn, it's inherited, something given. We believe this comes from Psalm 37:11, which we heard today. It says, "But the meek," and by the way, we're not talking about Sue and Ken, just so y'all know, because I'm sure you guys have had that before. If you don't know, Ken and Sue's last name is Meek, so that's kind of you guys kind of have a gimme on this one, that's nice. 37:11 says, "But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity." Now, in the Old Testament, for the Jewish person, the land, the promised land, was everything, because that's where God would dwell in his temple. It was in the promised land that God would pour out all of his blessings upon the people. But this goes far beyond the land. Because Jesus says, wherever you go, you will be blessed. This blessing will go with you. You've inherited the earth. And I think this is true because the person who is meek is someone, I think, who is completely satisfied in Christ. He doesn't long for anything of this world. He realizes that the world really has nothing to offer. So they already have it all. In 2 Corinthians 6, Paul is talking about all the trials and sufferings that the apostles endure. And he makes the incredible statement. He says that though they have nothing in this world, they possess everything. 1 Corinthians 3, Paul is speaking to the church. And he says, all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours. And you are of Christ and Christ is of God. And so for the meek, it no longer matters where you go. You've inherited the earth. It's all yours. And you are blessed no matter where you are. That means when you're at the hospital, when you're standing at the graveside, when you're facing persecution, you are still blessed. So how do we cultivate meekness in our own lives? Well, let's talk about the path to meekness. First thing is understand you can't do it alone. It's impossible in our natural state. We shall never make ourselves meek. That's kind of like being proud of your humility. It just doesn't work. And so the second thing is you must yoke yourself with Christ. He was the epitome of all meekness, and he tells us, come to me, you who are burdened, and I will give you rest. For I am gentle and humble in heart. Take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So he says, take my yoke. Now, I think Pastor Steve talked about this. In those days, yoke, at least in the farming sense, is a young ox would be yoked with an older, experienced ox, so that the older, experienced one could teach the young one the right pace, how to heed the directions from the master. It also was a way of referring to your set of teaching. The rabbis had a yoke. Jesus says, take my yoke. And so if we do that, realize that means you have to surrender your life to his direction, where he chooses to take you. And then the third thing is understand that Jesus is giving us a progression here in the Beatitudes. Now I get the first two blessed are a little bit negative, but that's where it has to begin. And as we've discussed over the last several weeks, we're blessed to do these things. We must be poor in spirit, realizing that we come empty-handed to God. We are desperate for him because we are spiritually dead. When we embrace that spiritual poverty, we must also mourn the very thing that caused that poorness, our own sin. And it's only after we've done those things can we truly become meek. I said, it's impossible for us to do on our own. And that's good news for us, because it's the Holy Spirit who does this work. He's the one who can humble us, who can begin this transformation in us. He's the one who makes us poor in spirit, realizing that we are poor in spirit. He's the one who leads us to mourn over our own sins. And then he's the one who can produce in us this true and right view of ourselves and give us the mind of Christ himself. And maybe you're sitting here saying, well, you know, I know myself and I know I'm not meek and I don't think I can ever get there. Well, good, then you've actually been listening, because you're right, you can't, not on your own. But it can be created in us by Jesus through the work of the Spirit. Friends, Jesus can do what you think is impossible. He can teach you meekness, and you'll find rest for your soul. Now, for those of us who are professing Christians, by that profession, we are claiming then we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, correct? Please tell me you agree with that. Yeah. So, therefore, we have no excuse to not be meek if we have the Spirit dwelling in us. So friends, let's meditate this week, today. Take time to meditate on this teaching of Jesus to be meek. With humility, let's confess not only our spiritual poverty, but more and over our sins and the sins of our people. Because as I've said before, friends, good manners, social etiquette, those don't fulfill this call for meekness. Saying the right Christian words won't impress anybody, especially God. Now, if you are a Christ follower, this is how you must be. Because this is kingdom living, and the world needs to see. You know, not even just the world. The people who are closest to you need to see this strength of meekness. You know, the willingness to put others' lives before our own, to speak and act with gentleness and humility, and to see us stand for truth, and when we do, speak the truth in love. They need to see power under His control. And friends, when they see this, they will see Jesus. Amen. Please stand as we join together in singing our hymn.